Blog Talk Radio.
And hello out there, Duval. I am Jeremy the Impact York, bringing you Jaguar Zone, the aftermath of the draft. Hope you guys are having a great week, especially if you're a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. You should be super excited. Up on the show today, we are going to be talking about the draft. I'm going to dissect every pick, tell you why it was a good pick, and where this guy, you know, where this guy is going to really help us the most. Also, there's some news and notes I do want to hit. Just various things that have happened so that you're caught up on for the rookie mini camps coming up. A couple of days of those are open to the public, so make sure to go meet all the new guys and show them how welcome they really should be. As always, you can call in 347-826-7448 is our number for the Jaguar Zone. You can call in with your comments, questions, suggestions, or anything Jaguars, or even if it's not, we can make it about the Jaguars, I guess. But once again, you can call us at 347-826-7448. And also, I have a special guest that should be joining us the second half of the show. You guys are going to really like this. You know, it does have to do with the draft, and it should make you really excited as a Jaguar fan. But first, I do want to talk about all those guys in the draft. And, you know, let's start with Blake Bortles going third overall, the quarterback out of University of Central Florida. Not only is he a homegrown talent, but his fan base is going to follow him as well. So Duval just got a lot bigger. But a lot of people go, well, you pick a lot of people in the first round and this and that. Is this guy really worth it? You know, Chad Henne's doing okay for now. How long is he going to be in before we start trusting this guy? Look, Blake Bortles is your guy for the future. And I know a lot of people thought Gabbert was the guy. A lot of people thought different other people were the guy. But Bortles is that type of talent. He is very much an in-the-moment player where he's going to make great decisions. He's good at swapping up on things. He can read defense as well. This kid has so many intangibles that I just see a super, super bright future for him. And, you know, I know a lot of people have already gotten his jersey, and I know you can go on the Jaguars website, and I believe they have those up still as well. A lot of the Bold City Brigade that went up to the draft, got to give a shout-out to those guys. There were 130 Bold City Brigade members from all various chapters that went up to New York for the draft to meet the future Jaguars that were there and to really show everybody the support that Duval and the Bold City Brigade, Teal Street Hooligans, all these great fans wanted to show them. There's a couple videos of Blake Bortles walking through the Bold City Brigade. I believe he either hugged, shook hands with, or high-fived dang near every one of you guys, and that was awesome. Just for him to be able to interact and see the type of fan base he was going into, I know really made him feel good. And, you know, just want to throw this staggering number out, and I'll hit on it a little while later. But like I said, there were 130 Bold City Brigaders that made the trip up to New York to Radio City Music Hall for the draft. And there's a lot of pictures online. We'll post a few of them on our Facebook and Twitter pages as well. But only 1,000 people or fans are given tickets to get inside the draft and be there for the first round of the draft, like, you know, for the draft weekend like that. Only 1,000 tickets are handed out. And like I said, 130 Bold City Brigaders are there. So quick math, I won't even make you figure this out. Don't need pencil or scratch paper. That's 13% of the live audience were Jaguar Bold City Brigaders. That there's no other fan base that's done that in at least recent memory. I can't think of any. And what better way to show the league that what they're in for and that the Jaguars are coming. And, you know, they're here to kick butt and take names. And, I mean, the future is now. When you draft people like Blake Bortles first, you know, as your first-round pick, in the second round, you grab Marquise Lee out of USC and also another wide receiver, Allen Robinson, out of Penn State. I had a chance to talk to Allen Robinson on a Google Plus Hangout with the Fathead guys. Shout out to all of them as well. Allen Robinson is one of the best route runners that was out. Marquise Lee is going to give you speed up the sideline. I mean, weapon after weapon after weapon. When you go quarterback, wide receiver, offensive guard in your first three rounds, your first four picks, that's insane. That's, for one, the defense is getting really good in Jacksonville, but adding a Marquise Lee, adding an Allen Robinson, and the offensive guard out of Miami in the third round you took with Brandon Linder, these guys are gonna just the last few pieces into that offense to make it just shine. I mean, when Bortles is ready to take over, they're gonna turn over the reins to him, and you know, it'll be his team at that point. But Chad Henne is the guy for now. Chad Henne could be the guy going forward even. Who knows? But given these weapons to even Chad Henne are only going to make him play better. These were areas that they needed to hit. And with the looming suspension of Blackmon, the way the draft went, I would almost expect Jacksonville may not expect him back. They may move on from this point, which would be a good, you know, nothing wrong with moving on. But clearly, you let the fans know that it's about scoring points and it's about excitement. Quarterback, wide receiver, offensive guard in your first four picks. Now, in the fourth round, you go and grab a cornerback, Aaron Colvin out of Oklahoma. This kid is really, really good at covering people. He is like a center fielder back there. He can run side by side with somebody. He can run in the direct routes and keep the receiver in front of him. Very rarely does he ever get beat down the field. And if he does, it's usually not just, you know, it's just a lapse in coverage somewhere, just a hiccup. But Aaron Colvin is by far going to be one of those game-breaker guys in the next year or so. The two fifth-round picks you had, take Telvin Smith out of Florida State. This guy, inside as an inside linebacker, he is a general, the defensive general by far. He is going to be able to patch in some of the holes and eventually be the guy that runs. He's going to end up running this defense a couple years from now. I think they're going to groom him to kind of be, you know, almost the play caller, but at the same time, the defensive captain, the guy that when they get to the huddle, everybody goes, "Captain, where are we going?" And, I think Telvin Smith's going to be this guy. Right behind that, you had Chris Smith at Arkansas, the defensive end. This guy is a terror coming off the side, and terror in a good way if you're a Jacksonville fan. You know, with adding a guy like Chris Smith on the defensive end with the weapons that are already in place, you're almost telling Indy and you're telling Houston, you're telling Tennessee, you guys should have picked offensive linemen because we're just going to rush, we're just going to bum rush you. We're just going to run slap past you. We're going to make sure Andrew Luck becomes a stargazer because he's going to be looking at the sky so many times. You know, Tennessee with some of their problems, it doesn't matter if it's Jake Locker or anybody. You're telling them, you're putting them on notice, which I hope puts a chilling feeling to them like that, because the Colts are good. Tennessee's got a little bit of issues, but they're still pretty decent as well. Houston's going to be, you know, trying to stay stride for stride with Jacksonville as both of them are heading to the top. You know, adding Clowney like they did is a good move. He's the best player on the draft board at that point, and it does make their team better. However, I thought those are things they could address. Jacksonville, on the other hand, draft grades are draft grades. They're, you know, it's kind of like words, and words are wins sometimes. Draft grades, to me, ask me in 2 or 3 years how good a draft this was. But I'm excited by everybody here. At the same time, I don't know how you can grade a draft when all we have is college stats and how good these people are at celebrating getting drafted. We need to see them play on the field before we can tell you how good a draft is. But, you know, at the same time, the thing about it is they got a lot of A's, a couple B-pluses and stuff like that. A lot of people like the Jaguars draft. Taking the center, Luke Bawenko out of Virginia in the sixth round, taking Storm Johnson out of Central Florida, and he's a running back and just a dynamic one. Think Denard Robinson potential, but I think he's faster than Denard, and that's no knock on Denard Robinson, because I follow him a lot of his career as well, even before the Jaguars. But Storm Johnson is very much what his name tells you. He is a storm, and he is a just a wrecking ball runner. And I look forward to watching him just slash through defenses and just sling people. This guy is by far going to be one of the cooler pickups. But that is all the picks that they had. They're in the process of locking them all down. Like I said, you know, getting to talk to Allen Robinson and hearing some of the comments from some of these guys through the chats lately, these guys are excited to be here. It's not just, oh, I'm excited to get drafted. No, they're excited to be a part of Duval County. They're excited to play at Everbank Field. They're excited to put on the teal jersey. They're excited to get in front of these fans and this fan base and show everybody what they're about and that this team is on the rise. You know, also the Jaguars were awarded former New York Giants linebacker Alan Bradford off of waivers. They are currently at the league limit 90 players. They're going to have to cut those down as the camps come up, you know, here shortly in the next month or so. But this is them maximizing their options and looking at everybody, not just the draft picks, not just the people they already had, but other people that are out there and seeing who fits the mold and who fits the team. You know, it's like driving a bus and trying to get the right people in the right seats on the bus. It's not just about having the right players, it's having them in the right places. So far, the Jaguars are doing a pretty good job of doing this. You know, we'll see who ends up making the cut and everything like that. I did mention before that this Friday and Saturday, the two-day rookie minicamp will be at the Florida Blue Health and Wellness Practice Fields, which, don't worry if you've never been there, it's right next to Everbank Field. By far, anybody in Jacksonville can tell you where they're at. They are open to the public. Go meet the new guys. Go support them. Go show them what kind of fan base that they're walking into for the ones who haven't gotten to experience that yet. Go crazy. Let them know how cool it is to be a Jaguar and that everybody is behind them. And as always, we are taking your calls. 347-826-7448 is the Jaguar Zone number. 347-826-7448. We'll be taking a few of your calls. We are right up against a break, but on the other side of the break, we'll be talking to our special guest. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Hey, Zoners, it's Jeremy the Impact York. Are you looking for a dinner full of flavor with a little kick? Then Tequila Mexican Restaurant is your destination for authentic Mexican food and drinks. Make sure to come by on the weekends for live music on the patio and bring all your friends for a good time. With locations in Dallas and Hiram, they are ready to dish out their great food and more.
And we are back here on the Jaguar Zone, as always. If you get a chance to check out some of our great sponsors and let them know how much you appreciate them and how much we appreciate them as well, you know, make sure to mention Endzone and Jaguar Zone. We're checking those out. Always great food at those places, and we enjoy going there. But up next, as I said, I do have a special guest, and especially fans of the Bold City Brigade and Duval and everybody. I want to bring on right now Mr. Andy Mathis, who is a Bold City Brigader out of the Jacksonville chapter, and also one of the main people I talk to on Twitter as well. Andy, how you doing this week?
Oh, we're doing great, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on.
Definitely. I definitely wanted to get you on because you were one of the 130 who went up to the draft. Tell everybody a little bit about what that was about.
Well, you know, several of our guys have been going the last couple of years, and it's just kind of grown and gotten more and more organized when people realize how much fun it was to go up there. Last year, I think that the group was about 40 or so, but this year people just kept on planning to go, and the group got bigger. We had people from Jacksonville. In fact, the flight I was on had, I don't know, 30 to 40 people on it up
wow.
on up in New York on Wednesday morning. The Jaguars actually sent out a send-off party. Jackson DeVille was there. People from the Jaguars, they gave us little care packages with luggage tags and water, koozies. It was fantastic. But then, when we got to New York, people had been coming from all over. We had people from fans from California, from Canada, Pennsylvania, New York, Florida. Even one guy I met came from Brazil. And
wow.
We've just been talking with each other on Facebook and on Twitter. And Cap, who is the president of the Bold City Brigade, he's had experience. This was his third year in a row. So we kind of looked to him for advice on, when to get there, what to do, when to stand in line. And it kind of made it pretty easy. I mean, the hardest part was standing in line. But besides that, it was really pretty easy. We met up several times while we were there. And let's just say people noticed this because we were, I don't know. There's a lot of fans in New York there for the Jets and the Giants. But if you're talking about an organized group, we were the biggest organized group. When we got up in line that first night, there was 90 of us that were lined up all together. So, we tried to get together on that first night and sit all together. The lady asked, how many we had, and we said 90. And she kind of started off looking upset and then or in disbelief, and then by the time she started handing out those 90 tickets, she looked pretty impressed. So it was a great night. And sitting all together like that, people definitely knew we were there.
Oh, yeah, by far, because, all the end zone and Jaguar and Falcon zone guys, we were over at Dave and Buster's in out here near the Atlanta area. And Jacksonville was well represented even there, but I pointed out to everybody from the time I walked in the room, not only did I have on my Jaguars gear, which threw a lot of people off, but I pointed out I could see you guys out in the crowd. And I said, that whole sea of green right there is all the Jaguar people. And and even the Falcons fans were a little envious at that point that kind of showing. They were like, how can we get there like that? And I said, well, it comes down to the Bold City Brigade and the Till Street Hooligans and groups like that do so many things, not just football related, but in the community and stuff like that.
Yeah, over the years, the leaders of those groups have just done a great job of getting us together, getting us on the same page, keeping us talking, which is really all what the best part of it is. I showed up in New York City, 800 miles from home, and was by myself with 130 instant friends, some of whom I'd never spoken to before in person. But it's just that communication that we have, the organization, it's an experience that's second to none to have people all over the country that you can just talk Jaguars with anytime. And we had a blast. It definitely is something I'm glad I did not miss.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's one of those once-in-a-lifetime trips. If anybody out there has not gotten a chance to, go see the draft live, or even the way, getting to go down to Everbank Field and just be a part of Jag Nation and Duval County and all the different groups and everything. I know I had a blast going down there last year, and I'm looking forward to going again this year. I got lucky enough to actually get to meet up with you last time I was down there, which was really cool. We were right in the middle of the Bold City Brigade and Till Street Hooligans throwing probably one of the better tailgate parties I've attended.
Yeah, and it's like that every Sunday, every game day Sunday. I tell you what, we are undefeated in tailgating. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't think anybody would argue with that.
One of the best things that happened while we were on that trip is we were seated right next to the media area where all the players would come after they were drafted, and they'd go down radio row with all the interviewers. And so when Bortles was drafted, he came out right there beside us, and we were calling for him. He couldn't ignore us, but he came over, gave everybody some high fives, did a couple of autographs, and, you know, I know we were there, and I know we were loud, but none of the other players responded to their fans the way Bortles did. And for everybody that was a little unsure how they felt about the pick, I think he made a lot of instant fans right there the way he came over and celebrated with us after the draft pick was made. He was definitely excited. I got a high five from him, so that was pretty cool.
Definitely. Is that the video surfaced online that him walking over and getting in the middle of the Bold City Brigade?
I'm sorry, what was your question about that?
There was a video that surfaced online. I think Cap may have actually been the one that put it up.
Yeah, a lot of people captured that. And actually, for those of you that have been watching the Draft Academy show on ESPN, the episode that came out this week about the draft shows that time where he came down. And yeah, I definitely tuned in for that, and it was an exciting moment for the 130 of us anyway.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. And the good thing is Bortles got to witness firsthand what, you know, the kind of fan base he's stepping into, because he realizes it's not too much longer before the reins to the franchise are pretty much going to be handed to him, and this is going to be his team, and he knows he's got that kind of support, and that he's already that candid. You don't have to beg this guy for attention. He'll easily, you know, show you how much he's appreciative towards where he's at.
Right. Well, you can see how he has that maturity, that understanding that apparently attracted Caldwell and the scouts to him, because he just seems naturally fit in these situations. He's been excited, but he's been in control. To me, it just looks like he's ready for the moment. So obviously we don't know, but I certainly hope it's true. Some of my friends and I were saying we feel like we know him as well as we knew Gabbard in the 3 years he was here, just because Bortles has been so easy with the camera, easy with the fans, and it's been a good start if you can count everything up to actually getting onto the field a good start. So that's definitely exciting to have a little bit of hope in a quarterback of the future for things.
Yeah, definitely so. And I was able to meet Mr. Gabbard and speak to him briefly when I was down there last year. And he seemed like even he knew he needed to get out of town, that it wasn't really the situation he needed to be in. But I know you guys were there for the first round. Did you guys stick around for your day two or day three?
Yeah, I stayed for the whole draft. Some people only did one night, some two. But there was still plenty of us left for the third day. The hits kept coming. It seemed like each draft pick there was something to like, or at least see where the team was going. You know, I think that it's comforting that Caldwell has said what he wants to do, and it seems like his drafts line up perfectly with what he said he wants to do. There weren't many head scratchers where you thought, well, I wonder why he drafted that position. I mean, I know there's a lot of open positions on our team, but you definitely knew, hey, yeah, we need receiver help. He got two receivers in the second round. We need some pass rush. He tried for that with the Chris Smith selection.
Right.
Calvin, I think, if he was not injured, he would have been, you know, a higher pick. I think the value was unmistakable there. We needed a running back. He grabbed Johnson Lee. We needed speed at linebacker, and that's what Telvin Smith will supply. So, you know, everything made sense, which is a great change from a few years ago when sometimes I'd look and think, what in the world are they doing?
It kind of felt like names out of a hat there for a little while.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah.
Well, let's just put it this way. There were no special team selections in the drafts, which was a positive.
Yeah, definitely. A few of those where you're like, don't we have five or six of those already? And but, you know, given, you know, you talked over a lot of the ones, and I went over them a little bit earlier as well, is there one or two of these picks that you're really excited about for a particular reason?
Well, yeah, you know, I was excited about different ones for different reasons, but I know it's delayed gratification, but I think that Colvin pick may be turn out to be one of the best ones. I mean, when you can grab a guy who they feel comfortable with his medicals, but I think has, you know, first or second round talent. I mean,
right.
If he's going to be a long-term starter at cornerback and we pick him up in the fourth round, well, then the redshirt year, if you will, is going to be a small price to pay for that pick. I just think as long as he does rehab the way they hope, that's just going to be the plum pick of the draft. You can't just find a starting cornerback that deep very often. And, you know, they think he's going to be able to rehab completely. We certainly hope he does. But I'm real excited about seeing what happens with that one next year. If you're talking about this year, though, I think that I was really excited about the Marquise Lee pick in the second round but I will say I kind of expected maybe they would go that direction with a wide receiver that pick. But for them to be able to move back up into the second and grab Allen Robinson, who is a different style receiver than Lee, but is really a kind of receiver that they don't have on the team with that size. I think that Robinson pick is one that may show up this year as a needed piece of the receiving puzzle, somebody that can maybe make some red zone catches, some tough possession catches. You know, our guys have been more on the small side, and that is not what Robinson is, so I'm excited about that one too.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say that I like all of them, like you said. I like all of them for different reasons. You know, Storm Johnson is going to be just a beast out of the backfield. But, yeah, I think the ones that are going to surprise people is how good a route runner and overall receiver who can actually block, too, that Allen Robinson is. A lot of people hadn't really heard of him. I was able to talk to him on the Google Plus Hangout and kind of get to know him a little bit. And, I mean, he's a quality guy. He was looking forward to it. I actually kind of hinted towards he would make a good Jaguar, and he just grinned. But, you know, I actually think Luke Bawenko at the center they took in the sixth round, I mean, with Meester gone, that's a huge hole in the middle of the line. They brought in a couple guys. You know, they're looking at different things. But, you know, Luke could easily step in and kind of be the new Meester, and not necessarily as good as Brad was, but, you know, just the overall presence and a good leader on the offense there that a lot of people are overlooking.
Right, and that's that position needs competition if it's not going to have, you know, a surefire starter. I know they went after Mack and failed to get him, but so since they weren't able to secure that position, they need as much competition as possible. So I'm glad. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know that much about him, but as soon as I saw center pop up, I was happy because the more the better. Somebody's going to surface as the winner of that job. So good move.
Oh yeah, definitely. And in the last minute or so of the show here, not only do I want to thank you for calling in, and good to talk to you again. Hopefully next time it'll be in person. where can people follow you on the social medias?
Well, I'm the man behind the mask, Downer Jag Fan on Twitter. That's where most people know me, is on Twitter. Twitter, Downer Jag Fan. I post to Instagram under that name and Facebook, but not very often. So the best place to find my thoughts rambling on is Downer Jag Fan. And I will say that it's been a little bit harder to find downers these days, but I guess that's a good thing.
Yes, that's definitely a good thing, seeing the culture change. Well, I do appreciate you calling in, Andy, and I look forward to a great Jag season, and hopefully I can get down there and see a few more games.
I hope so, Jeremy. Thanks.
And that was Mr. Andy Mathis, or at Downer Jag Fan. Appreciate him joining us and everything, and that's going to wrap it up for us this week. As always, you guys can call us in and talk next time, but that's going to do it for us this week. We'll see you next week.